Loving God, we thank you for allowing us to gather here on such a beautiful spring Sunday. We thank you for the gift of not only a beautiful day, but the gift of allowing us to be here together. We just ask that in this time that we're gathering, that we may be enlightened, and that we may find the truth in all the bad and all the good that is going on in our lives. And we just ask, dear Lord, that you help us to understand fully and to open our hearts to your love. And we pray this in your most holiest name. Amen.
Amen.
So, for those of you who don't really know me, I need to kind of tell you my credentials, because I'm speaking here tonight, so I'm obviously credible to just tell you all this truth. So, if you have a pen and you have paper, I want you to just make sure you write down everything I say, because it's 110% truth, because I'm obviously qualified to be talking. I was a youth minister for 2 years, so that means that I understand everything. I've been a practicing Catholic my entire life, so that makes me completely 110% fully capable of understanding the church. I've given speeches, which means I know how to talk good, and I speak English real good. And so I'm obviously credible in everything that I'm talking about. So you know that everything I'm about to share with you is 110% truth. All right? And with that being said, before I really get into the teaching, I need you to just stand up. Just stand up for me, all right? It's a little slow. Sit down. All right? I need you to just kind of like together, just stand up, please. No, like physically. Okay. Do you know what, though? We were talking, and I forgot to do that, so just sit down again, though, all right? So here's what we're going to do. I want you to just, this time, just like stand up, but I want you to just, you know, it's 70 degrees out. I want you to just, yeah, you know, when you stand up. So if you just do that, please. That was kind of weak sauce. Just sit down. Do you know what? That didn't work. We're going to have to go a different route then. I can't believe you just did that. You know what? What's really funny is it's really easy for us to follow someone when they claim to be this person of just straight up truth. And it's hard for us, especially in today's society, to go across, you know, I guess our comfort zones. And to follow our friends or spokespeople or all these experts that just say, I'm qualified, so believe what I'm about to say. I have a master's in this, which means I obviously understand all that. And it's so easy for us to just put all of our eggs into one basket and follow suit of this person who claims to be this all, like, inspiring, educated, whatever you want to call it, type person. We see it all the time, especially with our celebrities. I'm a celebrity, so buy my $300, you know, clothing line. Or I'm a basketball player, so buy my $150 Air Jordans. You know, it's funny, especially right now, because you got up and stood up and did woo and kind of embarrassed yourself, all because myself, the speaker, right now, asked you to for absolutely no reason. And I think it's kind of funny, because in the aspects of our own lives and in the world around us, there's a lot of things we don't understand. There's decisions that our friends make that absolutely just rip us apart, even though it's a decision that they make. There are things that go on in our lives. For instance, I was flipping through the newspaper today, and you read about all these murders, and you read about all these things that go on. It's really hard to find the truth and the reason behind why things happen. You know, furthermore, looking at the newspaper, you look at a Kohl's ad, and you see a half-clothed woman. But then we also wonder why sexuality and all these perversions are overpowering our TV, our music, and every aspect of our life. There's just a lot of things that we don't understand, especially when we try to seek out truth and understanding. I got bored at work, which happens when you your work hours get like cut in half from like 75 hours in ministry to 40. And I was bored, and I went on this news website. And I want you to read this, or I'm going to read this to you. I want you to just to hear this. This is just headlines that I saw in 10 minutes of searching on Wednesday. These are things that happened this week. The dictator Hugo Chavez from Venezuela lost his battle to cancer, and he died this week. After he died, half the country was put under a military takeover. Also, Iran's president came out and said that Chavez will be resurrected just like Jesus Christ. In a similar fashion, the word Jesus and Christ are no longer allowed to be in a Christian prayer at a city council meeting in Longview, and that's a tradition that they've been having since the 1950s. On top of that, North Korea came out and said that they have preemptive nuclear strike on America. A frigid snowstorm killed at least four out east, and that was on Wednesday. The U.S. government bought 2,000 armored vehicles and over 2 billion rounds of ammunition this week. Just shy of 350,000 people filed for unemployment. And we're allowed to carry knives on planes now. Did you know that? Yeah, that got passed this week. And then finally, and this is probably one of the most alarming, a man in Long Island lives in an apartment complex and faces up to 30 days in jail for two noise violations because he laughs too loud when watching TV. The reason I share that with you is I want you to think about how hard it is to understand what is truth. Where's reason in the things that go on? Why do things go on in our lives the way they do? I mean, that right there is just a paragraph of headlines. I didn't read the articles. But how unbelievably just depressing is that? Especially when we know that we struggle with all these things that allow us to just get torn apart by the differences of views of our friends. Excuse me. That kind of test our moral compass and our decisions. We talk about moral relativism. I mean, that's the differences between yourself and someone else, a different person, a different culture, and the moral compass and thought process behind the things that they do. At least from Wikipedia, it says it's the difference in moral judgments across different people and cultures, where we're also told that we need to tolerate the behavior of those, even if we do disagree with the choices that they make. And that's oftentimes hard. I can think about the times when my friends in high school would want to go drink, and then I wanted to stay home, and they're like, well, it's totally cool if I go out and do this, because my parents will allow me to have a drink at home. Well, I know that I'm not 21, so legally I shouldn't, and I also know that my parents told me I shouldn't. So I'm going to stick with what my parents told me, because I know the truth and the strength behind what the decision that they want me to make. So we have all these different times that we're challenged with different people, the cultures that they come from, and we often struggle with the moral relativism. And through that, when we make our decisions and we make our choices, we need to think about what's the right choice? What is the truth that we need to find, that we need to seek out within that? According to the Catechism, truth is the virtue which consists of showing oneself true in deeds and truthfulness in your words. Meaning that we live out this virtue of truth through the decisions that we make and the choices that we make. From the smallest things to the largest things, to temptations, to whatever it is, we are living out truth through our choices. On top of that, we're living out truth in our everyday actions. It's just by human nature, and the Catechism talks about this too, that human nature, and it's pretty common sense for us also, that we want the truthfulness and expect the truthfulness among our fellow peers. And it'd be very hard to have a cohesive society or to find love and beauty in our society if we truly wanted to work and live with people that constantly lied to us. That we're always striving to find the truthfulness in what we do. We know through the commandments and also through Christ's teaching and out of Exodus that he says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." We know this in the sense that we are truly to love everyone, to proclaim that truthfulness in everything that we do, that we don't hurt, that we don't cause any wounds or pain for someone and the choices that we make, that we don't hurt them. I think with truthfulness, it truly makes me think of this funny story. My folks, I'll just call them out right now because they're not going to listen to this because they're not here. My folks, God bless them, they're retired, and they're starting to get a little bit of out of shape. So they're trying to find all these different ways to become healthier. And for whatever reason, they're doing this new detox drink. It's absolutely hideous. They boil a cup of water each in the evening, and they have to take this on an empty stomach. And what they do is they boil this water to a certain whatever, and they then put in, once it's done, a cup of cinnamon and 2 tablespoons of honey, and then they stir it and let it sit for a half an hour. And then from this concoction that they make, which just sounds absolutely disgusting, they drink half of it on an empty stomach at night, and then the other half on an empty stomach in the morning. And according to the article that was online, it's online, so it's obviously truthful. I mean, we all know this. It is going to curb your appetite. It is going to not only cleanse yourself, but it's also going to help you somehow lose weight. And ultimately just making you a much healthier, better person by taking this disgusting concoction. I don't buy it. Do you buy that? I don't buy it. Now, it could be a foundation of a healthier lifestyle, or it could just be a big waste of time. In the same sense that we can easily open up the Bible and read one little line and think, that's the truth, or it's not, we need to further investigate it. Like a healthy lifestyle, like that drink, it only works if you change your diet, if you change your lifestyle, if you work out. There's a lot of things that come to that detox. The same comes when it to our faith life, into prayer, and into Scripture, when we're trying to seek out truthfulness and trying to imitate the life that Christ has laid out for us in Scripture. In John chapter 8, verse 31 to 32, it reads, Jesus then said to those Jews who believed in him, if you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Think about that. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you were just to read that one little line in the Bible, that wouldn't make you just say, I believe. Lordy, Lordy, I believe. I found Jesus. I found the truth. There's so much more that we need to do. Aside from reading that, we need to apply. We need to apply that into our lives. Not only do we need to apply that into our lives, like this disgusting concoction for detoxing, there are a lot of things that need to go to make it go further, to build upon that foundation. If we accept the fact that Christ truly is truth, and if we live out this truth, we will better understand faith in our own lives. There's more that we need to do to that and with our own prayer lives. Later on in John chapter 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We've all heard this line. We've probably seen it on many different pieces of artwork, photographs, or whatever. But in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But no one comes to the Father except through me. If we truly understand truthfulness and that we have to live it out in our actions and in our words, and then we hear what was just read here from John, where we have to get to know Christ to get to Father. We have to live out this truthfulness. We need to read this truthfulness. We need to let it grow. We need to pass it along. We need to evangelize this truthfulness in our actions and in our words. But doing it while we understand and foster this relationship with Christ, we then will get to the pearly gates. We then will have this opportunity to meet God in heaven, but only through Christ. Later on in John chapter 17, it reads, because the words you gave to me, I have given to them, and they accepted them, and truly understand that I came from you. In reading that, and understanding that we need to go, to get to heaven, to get to God, we need to go through Christ, through a relationship, through truthfulness, through his love. It kind of makes it, at least in my mind, and I don't know if this is right or wrong, but this is kind of how I view it now, is that to live this authentic calling in our lives, to live out this strong, truth-based, love-based, Christ-centered life, on paper is very easy. I mean, if you think about it, it is easy to live out the life that Christ has portrayed for us. But to actually travel that road and to climb those mountains along that journey, that is the hardest part. But what's great to know is that in truthfulness, and seeking out truthfulness in all that we have, and completely just blank. In struggling with the moral judgments of our friends, if we are truly making the decisions that best help support our moral compass and our beliefs, we will be able to better serve and help those who are struggling. We will be able to do exactly what Christ tells us to do in terms of loving and serving others through making those right decisions. It won't always be easy, but if we keep ourselves centered on truly living out that love and that truthfulness, we'll be able to support anyone and to help our friends, not only help ourselves during those darkest times. And that a lot of times, although we know on paper what it is Christ calls us to do, to love, to serve, to pray, to go to church, to be there to support our friends, to be there to make the right decisions, to be that shoulder to cry on, to be that person that helps someone in their darkest hour. You know, it's very easy for us to know exactly what it is we should do on paper, but it's always harder, obviously, in life when it comes to realities of caving to our temptations, or those falling to those hurdles and those roadblocks, or being scared to climb that mountain that is before us, whatever that mountain may be. There was, and I didn't put it on the notes, and I apologize for that, and of course, I have it highlighted somewhere here. With that first verse that I had read from John, where it says, when Jesus was speaking to the Jews that were supporting him, he said, "If you remain in my word," sorry, wrong one, I need to get with it. After tripping you guys, I hit my head and kind of lost all sorts. But where it says, "full of grace and truth, he came as the light of the world." Christ is the truth. It goes on to say after that, that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. That in our darkest hour, in that time where we feel like we're turning our shoulder from Christ, where we feel most lost, we feel most alone, that he is still there. There's still this light that he's showing. He's still trying to illuminate that path for us to follow among all the darkness and doubt that is surrounding us in our darkest hour. That he is the truth. He is the way. He is the light for us. He is, in essence, how I see it, is if you've ever been out on the lake or in the middle of the ocean, it's completely pitch black. But to me, especially reading that, hey, what's going on? When you're out in the middle of the lake or the middle of the ocean, especially at night, it's so dark you can't even see about 3 feet in front of you, that I envision that Christ is like this lighthouse. That no matter if I'm in the middle of the lake, if I'm lost, if I'm close, or whatever, he is this bright light that is constantly shining, trying to show me the way for me to come home. For those of you that are boaters or anything know anything about anything related to nautical rules of the water or anything like that, all the major lighthouses are by ports that are welcoming you back in, so that even if you are far off out in the middle of the water, no matter where you're at, you can see this light and it is welcoming you back into port, into safer grounds. That even in our darkest moment, Christ is that light that is shining, that is beckoning from the highest of hills or mountains or whatever it is that is before you, just shining, saying, "Here I am. Believe in me, and I will lead you home." And that we know through the scripture verse that I quoted, that our way to heaven is through Christ. Our way to God is through Christ. And there's four things, like I had said, that it's very easy on paper to think about how we can follow this righteous path. But in real life, when we try to apply it, it's extremely difficult. It's much more trying. But I think there's four things for us to really think about in terms of the truthfulness to help us in our decision-making when it comes to what is right or wrong. Or that next time one of your friends says, "Hey, we're going to sneak out and we're going to go and do this." Or, "Hey, we're going to go to this party. There's going to be some drinks. It's totally okay, though." When we're tempted to make decisions that go against our own moral judgment. I think there are certain things that we can do that will be kind of that armor and that shield to give us that strength and courage to say, you know what, I don't want to, I'm going to pass. And I think you should too. First and foremost, the first thing that we can do, with this, is that we need to accept the truth. Accept and understand that Christ, when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he truly is. And the things that he did, from bringing back someone from the dead to life, to those that were blinded but were able to see, in every act that he did to help others, to show us to believe in him, and that he gave himself for us. If we truly believe that and we truly understand that, we need to not only, accept that, but we need to run with it. We need to tell other people in our actions and in our words. Because going back to the true definition of truth from the catechism, it is the virtue which consists of showing oneself through deeds and truthfulness in your words. And that if we are living out those decisions in everything that we do, big or small, in our own lives, we will truly be living out what Christ has called us to do. And if we need to, we can use words to proclaim it, to evangelize it, but also doing it in our actions and in our judgment. We also need to know that we need to allow God to guide our lives. When he says that he is the light, we need to know that in the darkest hour of our own lives, he is there. We might not see it, but like a boater out in the water, you will eventually find that lighthouse and that light shining, bringing you home. That in the moment that you feel lost, the moment you feel most confused, or when you feel the weakest, that light is still shining constantly for you, to be there to help you, to support you. And like that detox drink that I was telling you about that my folks did, and that they're still doing. If you see my folks, don't tell them I did this. One little concoction is supposedly supposed to transform your entire lifestyle and your life. We can't just go to church on Sundays and say, I went to church today, I believe the truth, I'm cool with God, I'm going to make it to heaven because I'm at church. It's not how it works. We need to do, almost in a sense, a lifestyle change. We need to ensure that like that drink that supposedly is supposed to change everything in your own lives, you need to add so much more to it, just like our prayer lives. Especially in terms of finding that strength, that love, and that support to help us when it comes to those decisions that we're struggling with our friends. And lastly, and extremely blunt, we need to put up, we need to shut up. And the reason I put that on there is there was a weekend where I was in Mass about two months ago, and I was sitting and I was just struggling because my best buddy had proposed successfully to his girlfriend, and they're engaged. And I was sitting there before Mass, like I always do, praying and just pretty much just unloading all my struggles and worries and everything to God. And I was like, God, I'm jealous, I'm struggling, it's not fair, what have I done wrong? But I know that you're going to help me. And then all of a sudden, the following week, I had the same problem. And the third week, and the fourth week, and then all of a sudden, it hit me. After about five or six Sundays, here I am struggling with the same thing. And I'm saying the same things to God, saying, Lord, help me not to be jealous. Help me not to be bitter. Help me not to do this. And then finally, it just hit me. Like Jesus just like woke up on the cross in church, just right upstairs, and just said, Matt, what are you doing? And it was like he just ripped the cross down and just hit me across the face. And it was like, I need to put up or shut up. I can continue to say that I'm struggling with this temptation or this anger or this feeling. But if I'm not willing to accept in my own life that is my weakness and I need to grow in that. So put up or shut up. And that's mainly blunt for me. But in the aspect, if you think about it, if there's something that we're struggling with, and we've talked about this in many different talks, especially in carrying our own cross, that if we are struggling with something, whatever that something may be in your own life, and we're consistently falling victim to that, and we're consistently coming and saying, I need help, I need help, I need help, give me strength, Lord. Show me the truth, show me the light. Show me where it is I should be going during this weak moment for me. And it's consistently day in and day out, or every Sunday, that we are struggling with the same thing. We need to say, do you know what, Lord God? I know that I am struggling with this. I know that I am struggling to find the reason and the truth behind whatever that something may be. And I'm weak, and I am lost. But I am sorry that I keep doing that. But help me. I started to think about it. I was like, 6 weeks in a row of struggling with the same thing. And then finally, it was just boom, right across my face. I need to do something about that. And I think that's great, whether that kind of applies to something that you're struggling with right now, or there's something that your friend is struggling with. To just go up to someone and just say, do you know what? I see that you're struggling, but I'm here to help you. In the same way that Christ is that light shining for you, for us, saying, here is my love. Here is the way to heaven, to my Father, through me. And I am that light for you. I am that truth for you. I am that way for you. And I am that life for you. So that the next time you have some dude stand up in front of you and start to talk about how absolutely wonderfully qualified he is to be doing whatever it is, or the next time that we see LeBron James try to tell you why it is in your best interest to be the best senior varsity basketball player, if you buy his $250 pair of Nike shoes, you will be able to truly see through that and say, do you know what? The next time, I'm not going to do it. The next time that someone just awkwardly tells you to stand up, you won't just stand up because they're telling you to stand up. You're going to stand up because you're like, you know what? I know the truth. I know what that decision is that I want. I know who I am and what God wants me to do. I will stand up because I want to, not because you're telling me to. And there's no other righteous way for us to overcome any hurdle or any struggle that we have in our own lives than to accept the truth that he has taught us, the love that he has given us, and most importantly, the strength that next time we are faced with that moral decision that we have, whether it's at school, at sports, outside of school, or at home, we can make that choice. But make it knowing that in our decisions and in the words we use, just like the definition from the Catechism of truthfulness, we will live out in two ways, through our words and through our actions. Let's just close in prayer. Lord God, I'm sorry for the times that I have failed you. I'm sorry for the times that I may have hurt you. I'm sorry for those decisions that I have made along the way that upset you. I just pray, Lord God, that you watch over all of us, that in our darkest hour, in our weakest moment, that you will allow us to make the right decision. To live out our truthfulness in everything that we do, Lord God, in the smallest to the largest decisions that we have to make. We just ask, dear Lord, that although we might falter, we might sin, and we might fall flat on our face, we just ask, dear Lord, that you continue to know how much that we love you and how much we need you. And that in those moments that we question you, Lord God, and we question your word and the journey you have sent us on, we just ask that you continue to shine that light, that we may follow you, that we may love you, and that we may accept you in all that we do in our lives, that one day we can make it to heaven to be with God our Father. We pray this today and every day, Lord God, in your most holiest name. Amen. Amen.
I'm like, actually, this is a talk I actually needed to hear. In that, right before Jesus Christ is crucified, right before he is given the cross to carry, he stands with Pontius Pilate, and Pilate says to him this, "What is truth? What is truth? What is truth?" And I think that if I look at a lot of people in my life and I look at myself, so many times I just hear that the world is asking that question, what is truth? Is there truth? Is there anything that I can actually, like, ground my life in? Is there anything that I can firmly plant myself in? Is there this lighthouse that I can continually press on towards that will direct me home? And I think that's the question tonight that is, like, piercing my own heart is, what is truth, Megan? And if I really believe that, as the catechism says, like, Jesus Christ is truth, then why am I making so many decisions in my life? In Galatians, there's this awesome passage where Saint Paul gets up in front of the Galatians. He's writing this, like, letter to them, and he says, "You stupid Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Which Saint Paul is usually just like, I mean, he's always blunt, but he doesn't usually call people stupid idiots, basically. But basically what was happening at that time is the Galatians, the Jewish people at that time, were trying to live both the Jewish faith, but then also say yes to Jesus Christ. And so they were walking this fine line where they were like, okay, well, we kind of believe in Jesus, so we're going to, like, we're going to take some of his teachings and apply that to our life. But then also we believe in, like, the law of Moses and all of these things that our ancestors have been believing this whole time. And so they're trying to smash, like, the Jewish faith and Christianity into one thing. And he comes in and says, "Who has bewitched you? Why are you walking this fine line? Or why are you walking in between two truths? Like, make a decision." And then he continues to say, "See what large print I am writing this letter." So St. Paul's like, "You stupid Galatians," like, huge, saying, make a decision. And I think that's the thing that's, like, ringing in my heart right now is, like, we either believe all this or we don't, you guys. Like, sometimes it's awesome for us to come here to tick all the time, but do we actually believe that Jesus is the truth? Do we actually believe, like, that our lives can be grounded in him and that he is the way, he is the truth, and that in him is the life? Or do we allow ourselves to believe, like, okay, this part of Jesus is true, but I'm going to believe the lies over here and try to mesh all my life together instead of just picking? And in our culture, in this time, there has to be a decision that is made. Is there not an opportunity for gray area anymore? There must be black and there must be white. And we need to make that decision tonight. So I think it's so appropriate for us to look at our lives and say, like, if I actually believe that consistently loving my neighbor is a good idea, why don't I do it all the time? Like, if I believe that's the truth, why don't I commit my life to that instead of, like, circling in between or dancing between these two truths? If I actually believe that when Jesus says, like, remain in me and you will bear fruit, if I repeat that with all of my heart and actually, like, believe that's true, then why don't I remain in him instead of pursuing all of these other fruitless things? If we hear, like, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, if I believe that and wear cross necklaces and, like, wear the medals of saints who have believed that, then why am I not putting my whole life and my whole heart into him instead of pursuing my own, or these own areas, or trying to seek love in other ways? If God so loved the world that he gave his son for me, then why am I not giving my whole heart to him? And so I think I would like to add two questions to Matt's questions at the end. And that is, where do you not trust Jesus? Because some of us are not taking this step in faith because we're still, like, it kind of feels like a tightrope walk or something like that. That I'm not going to take this next step because I could, like, walk and fall. Where do you not trust Jesus? And where is this gray area in your life? Where have you not definitively made the decision in faith that you will commit your life to him? I mean, it could be as simple as, I do not trust that spending a half an hour in prayer is more beneficial than watching this show on TV. It could be that. It could be like, I do not, my gray area is gossip, or is that I'm not going to talk about faith at school because I don't believe that even if everybody makes fun of me, that Jesus Christ will have my back. That could be our gray area. So we're going to take this next 2 minutes, and if you guys all want to write the three things that stuck out to you, and maybe if you want to answer just those questions, is like, where do you not trust Jesus? What is the gray area in your life?